We often see credit cards as convenient financial tools allowing us to make purchases and manage our expenses. However, it is crucial to recognize that credit card debt comes with a cost that goes beyond the simple swipe of a card. I'm Christy Eye, and today we're going to be talking about something that affects millions of people around the world, the cost of credit card debt and how to manage it wisely. Americans' total credit card balance is $1.08 trillion in the third quarter of 2023. And now that is a record high and the second consecutive quarter in which Americans' credit card balance has topped $1 trillion. And thanks to record interest rates, stubborn inflation, and a myriad of other economic factors, credit card balances are likely to only climb higher in the near future. Most people with an active credit card don't always pay their bills in full. On average, only 35% of cardholders say they always pay their credit card balance in full every month, while 65% of them say they carry a balance at least some of the time. Nearly half of those cardholders who have cards would say that it takes them at least a year to pay it off. And while you don't pay down the full amount due by the credit card statement's due dates, you're essentially borrowing money from the credit card companies. And this comes with a price. One of the most significant factors contributing to the cost of credit card debt is the interest rates. Credit cards typically have higher interest rates compared to other forms of credit, such as loans or mortgages. This means that if you carry a balance, you're not just repaying the principal amount, you're also paying interest on that balance. For all credit cards, the average APR is around 21.19%. For new credit card offers, the average today is 24.56%. Credit card interest is often compounded, which means that you're not just paying interest on the initial borrowed amount, but also on the accumulated interest. And this compounding can significantly increase the total amount you owe over time. Credit card companies typically set a minimum payment requirement, which is often a small percentage of the total balance. And while this may seem manageable, making only the minimum payment can keep you in debt for an extended period of time, leading to higher overall costs. Beyond the monetary costs, credit card debt can have a profound impact on your overall financial health. High levels of debt can affect your credit score, making it more challenging to secure favorable loan terms for significant purchases like a home or a car. And now today, we're joined by Bubba Horowitz, Chief Market Strategist at Bubba Trading Income. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Great to be here.
Absolutely. So, Bubba, why do credit cards often have higher interest rates compared to, say, other types of loans?
Well, first, typically, credit card debt is meant to be paid off, and most don't pay it. And so they use the legislation and things to make credit card debt or credit card interest rates much, much higher. In fact, you could compare interest rates on credit cards to usury rates, which the old loan sharks used to use. And since the lobbyists were able to pass the law that you cannot bankrupt on a credit card, you're really at the mercy. And of course, they advertise credit cards to those who really can't afford them. And they allow them to build up these massive amounts of debt, which they can never really pay off, because once you get so deep in, it's hard to pay off that balance, especially when you're trying to pay the minimum rate, because you never can overcome the interest rate. It's almost like negative financing.
And now, what are the potential consequences of carrying a high balance on a credit card over an extended period of time?
Well, I mean, first of all, it makes it hard to buy anything else, right? Your credit is kind of locked up and tied up. It reduces your overall credit score, which is one of the things that allows, credit companies, the three major credit bureaus that give you a credit score, your score continues to fall. Then if you are able to get a loan from somebody else, that rate is going to be at a much higher rate. And for example, my rate might be 5%. If your credit score is higher, it might be 7%, which it doesn't sound like a lot, but 2% is a huge amount of money over a period of time.
And now, how can only making the minimum payments affect the total cost and the total duration of credit card debt?
Well, I mean, for example, if you owed the full limit on your credit card and you paid the minimum, it would take you almost 30 years to pay off that total debt. Because basically, when you're paying just the minimum, you're really only paying the finance charge if you're paying that much. And so basically, you put yourself in a position to be destroyed by credit card debt because it makes everything else cost much more, and you don't get the use of that credit anymore. So you're really paying off a debt that could be years old that you don't get a chance to reuse again. So you've defeated the purpose of borrowing the money in the first place.
So now, can consumers actually negotiate with credit card companies to lower their interest rates?
They do negotiate. I mean, typically, most credit card companies don't negotiate with anybody until they realize that they may not get paid or the extent or the delay in payment. So they'll restretch the payment out. They're not going to change much. They're not going to change much of the interest rate because pretty much that is predetermined by your credit score and by what the going rate, like in the 10-year notes, because 10-year notes are the major benchmark that everything is used to be to decide a lending amount or a lending rate. So, but they will negotiate if you're too deep in debt because of what does the credit card want to do? They just want to get paid. And basically, credit cards are actually, in effect, printing money into the system because people are borrowing, very similar to the fractional banking, shadow banking. That's really kind of what they're doing. You're borrowing money that really doesn't exist to pay a debt. And it gets to be a big mess after time.
And now, from a behavioral finance perspective, why do individuals sometimes underestimate the cost of credit card debt?
I don't think they underestimate it. I think a lot of people go into it thinking that they'll make the payment. And of course, life happens and something else comes due, and they've got to make that other payment. I don't think people intentionally get themselves so deep in debt that they can never get out. I just think that they allow themselves, it's like if you go back a number of years, they used to offer that 90-day same as cash. And in the small fine print was, well, if you don't pay in 90 days, this interest rate's going to be at ridiculously high rates, and it's going to go back to day one. So you're paying interest from day one of that time you took that purchase. And many people, the shiny objects in this world, we see the TV set that we want to get for the Super Bowl, and there's a lot of heavy advertising. And of course, I have full intentions of going to be able to make that payment, and then I don't have the money. So I put that bill to the side, and now I'm paying gigantic interest rates on that loan for a TV set that I'll pay 10 times what that TV set actually cost me if I'd have just paid cash for it.
And now, whose fault is that? The consumer or the credit card companies for advertising something that they know that people can't even pay for or afford?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, you could talk about predatory advertising. I mean, who are they really advertising to? They're advertising to the people that really can't afford it, and they're making credit available to people that might not be able to deal with it. So I think that's a great question. I don't have the exact answer because, again, the credit card company is offering a product. The lender is taking the loan. Can they really afford it? That's the question. And I think that's more irresponsible on the consumer. But yes, the credit card company are definitely doing much predatory lending, advertising to entice you to come in and buy that product.
And how can other psychological factors influence spending habits and debt accumulation?
Well, I mean, listen, we all want to keep up with the Joneses. We all want to buy things. We all want to have nice things in our homes or in our apartments. We want that new car, whatever it happens to be. We want to buy it, and we want, we're in a society of instant gratification. That's one of the big issues that we deal with here. And people want it now, and knowing that they can borrow that money, and again, with the intention, I think, of paying it back on time, but of course, most don't. And that's why we have credit card re levels at record debt. But again, it's a system that we've created here of spoiled people that don't understand the real meaning of a hard-earned dollar and actually going to work. And that becomes the bigger problem because we make money and credit too easy for everybody.
Yes, but are there other situations where it's advisable for individuals to use credit cards even if they have the means to pay in cash?
Well, I think using a credit card, I use them all the time, but I pay them back. I've never had a finance charge on a credit card in my life. So yes, it's great to use it because it helps build your credit score It helps make it easier to buy that home you may want to buy someday if you don't have one. It builds a credit score. So you're building a history of paying and good credit. You know, certainly using a credit card, there's nothing wrong with it. Using a card irresponsibly, there is something fundamentally wrong with that. And buying things that you know that you probably can't pay for, because remember, emergencies happen. You know, suddenly the furnace breaks and you use your credit card to pay for the furnace, which you're never going to be able to pay back.
And do people get lured by credit card awards like points or cash back, or are these perks kind of like a secondary thought?
I think that's more secondary. I mean, I think that's the competition within the credit card industry of getting the consumer to sign up with them. I don't think the consumer says, you know, they want a credit card, and if they have trouble getting one, they'll take any. But then once they establish credit, then they will look for where they get the best deal. But I don't think anybody's spending extra money because they're getting X amount of reward. I think that's just an enticement. That's more of a marketing gimmick in between the two companies to try to get you to buy or to use their credit card and sign up. And of course, some credit card companies have fees, you know, to even get the card. You know, some of the higher level cards, you know, there's $300, $400, and $500 a year annual charges just to have the right to use that card.
And some say that merchants or department stores benefit when customers get the store credit card, since it's so easy to open when you're new to credit cards. So is it true? Is that a trap?
Well, I mean, listen, I believe any credit is a trap if you cannot pay for it or if you don't have intentions of paying for it. But certainly the store, the merchant, you remember, they've now eliminated a lot of the fees that they would pay out to another company to handle those fees. They get to keep the interest rate and they get to keep the money, and they're charging extremely high rates as well. And certainly they allow much easier spending and don't watch over you as much. So again, if you're going into a department store and getting their credit card, that is real danger, because every time you go into a Walmart or a Sears, well, I don't know if Sears isn't busy anymore, but a Walmart or any of those major stores, I mean, they're basically counting your money that they're going to be taking away from you, either through interest or through spending in their store or both.
Thank you so much, Bubba, but please stick around. Bubba Horowitz will stay with us right here after the break. And when we come back, we will discuss what countries use credit cards the most and how it affects their economies. So don't go away.
Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez. And I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
Almost every developed and emerging country uses credit cards these days, but credit card penetration varies significantly between countries. According to the World Bank, Canada, Israel, and Iceland were the only countries in which credit card ownership is higher than 74%. To compare, countries such as Bangladesh and Morocco have a credit card penetration of around 1% in 2021. Meanwhile, in China, its credit card business has been growing rapidly, playing a key role in facilitating payments and consumption. Chinese banks have issued a total of 800 million credit cards as of the end of 2021, with outstanding loans totaling $1.29 trillion. Roughly 1% of the loans are overdue for 6 months or longer. Because of the rapid growth, China had to unveil tighter rules to rein in and better regulate its $1.3 trillion industry so that lenders can monitor risks more closely. These new rules also require banks to tighten scrutiny over credit card loans and strengthen risk management controls. While China's total credit card debt is higher than that of the U.S.'s, the U.S. still has the highest median credit card debt at $5,910. This is followed by Japan at $2,900, the U.K. at $2,316, Germany at $2,052, and Canada at $1,604. Meanwhile, India has the lowest median credit card debt at merely $302. But that said, it is difficult to compare credit card use in other countries as the cost of living varies greatly. The cost of living in India is 81% less expensive than that of the US, so it makes sense that their median usage is also lower. Unfortunately, in the U.S., prices are rising faster than incomes. Median household income has grown just 4%, while the overall cost of living has jumped 8%. And while the rise of fintech has been great for convenience, it has created some nasty habits and consumption patterns where people are encouraged to buy now, pay later. This mentality has created deeper debt for millions, as close to 1 in 5 Americans say they have used one of these BNPL services in the past 12 months. In contrast, these BNPL users don't have interest fees but can incur late fees for missed or late payments. So this can result in charges that exceed typical credit card interest rates, causing more harm than a simple interest payment. Especially when it comes to Gen Z, credit card debt is increasing and it's falling behind on payments faster than any other generation. So for this and more, let's bring in again Bubba Horowitz. So now, Bubba, how do spending patterns vary across different regions globally, and what factors contribute to these variations?
Well, I think the factors you look at is, again, if you're more established, obviously you're more conservative typically, and you're going to be more careful, and you probably make enough money to go ahead and satisfy that. Whereas when you get to some of the people that aren't working, some of the younger people that are now using those credit cards either for enjoyment or for actual expenses, you know, if they're much more free. You know, the whole society, the whole Generation Z is all built on technology, built on iPay or Apple Pay and the different types of payment plans, which are all linked to credit cards. And of course, it's so easy to get to start using them and don't realize how much you're spending. You know, if you go back to my generation, you had a credit card, but you had cash in your pocket as well. And if you didn't have enough cash in your pocket, you wouldn't make the purchase. Now, everything is, they've made everything so streamlined and so easy for someone to buy something. You know, just show me your iPhone, just click it against the button, right? Everything is easy, the tap and go. And this is where the problems come in, because it's easy to spend, just like it's easy to lose money in a casino, because you don't realize when you're just dealing with chips.
And how do the different generations spend compared to the millennials or Gen Z?
Well, I think most of people of my ilk and my era are very conservative and will look to spend what they can. And of course, we built up, you know, from working all of our lives, money to that's for enjoyment, money that's for our budget. And, you know, we actually have to, you know, take care of our homes and our families. And, you know, the younger people, they don't necessarily care about that. And, you know, many of them living at home, so they feel it's free to spend more versus putting it away. I think that the more we create the ability for them to spend and not have to really work for a living, the more we make life easier. Just for example, waiving college debt or trying to waive college debt is a problem, because it makes the ability to think that the debt is not real and that I don't have to pay it. At some point, that debt might get relieved, which is not the way to be thinking. You need to be thinking ahead of that debt and putting yourself in a position to pay it.
And now, why is cash the king in certain businesses and countries instead of spending money using credit cards?
Well, I mean, cash is always king for, you know, a couple of reasons. A, if you're trying to sneak past the IRS a little bit, you can put a little cash in your pocket. You know, restaurants were notorious for not declaring sales. And of course, servers who get tips, you know, in fact, they've gone to the point now where servers get taxed ahead of time on what their tips should be. But, you know, cash can be king because it leaves you flush with money where you can spend it, but it also tells you what you have. And again, in many countries, it may help beat a little bit of the tax laws because you're not declaring your entire income.
And now, are there specific countries or regions that stand out in terms of having higher levels of credit card debt? And why might this be the case?
Well, I don't know that there's any more debt than there's here in the United States. We are in a massive, from our government spending to our credit card spending, never in history have we been at this point in credit card debt. And the money, the dollar amount is not important because inflation numbers change. But there's never been a time in history where this many people were at least at limit on one credit card, okay? And I don't think there's any more reckless spending than there is right here in the United States of America.
And how do economic factors such as GDP, inflation, and interest rates influence credit card usage and debt levels on a global scale?
I don't think they have any effect whatsoever. I think actually most people, they don't even look at those numbers. They hear them. But when you go to the store, when I go to the store and I hear the CPI number is 3%, I know that I'm paying 20% more for groceries. It has no effect on me. I'm in the business, so I understand that the numbers that they're reporting are not correct. But I don't think the average person ever even cares about what that number is, nor realizes that they know when they go, they're going to buy what they want, whatever it costs. I mean, look at the chain of Starbucks. I mean, how often do you think you'd see people paying $6 for a cup of coffee like it was free? And not even thinking about the ramifications of how much they're actually spending. And I think that's the bigger issue, is nobody looks at the bigger picture, nor do they care, because that's the cost, that's what I'm paying. I got a credit card, let me zap my Apple phone there and take care of it, and I'm all done.
And now, are there instances where economic downturns have led to a significant change in credit card spending behavior?
Well, I think if we get a big economic downturn and things get recognizably ugly, I mean, I would say they're recognizably ugly now, but the average consumer, it's not affecting them right now. They're still able to borrow money and pay their minimum payment. But if we get, job layoffs, if we get a real recession, a real depression or something like that, that will way slow the spending, but it will not delete the debt that has already been created. And of course, that'll be a hardship for those who are not working, that have these credit card payments building up and up and up, because again, that interest rate does not stop because the economy is slowing down.
And now, in emerging markets, how does the adoption of credit cards influence spending habits and debt accumulation?
Well, I mean, in emerging markets, you're trying to build a business. People are having money, basically for the first time, or having the opportunity to have this spending and having some freedom to go out to a store and spend. And again, I think that's a great place to be when you have an opportunity that you haven't had in the past. Again, you're coming out of, let's say the dark ages into a real city or a real society. And I think that's a great part of it. But I think that still the education system globally does not teach people that debt is real and debt has to be paid back. And that if you let it get too far away, people think about investing in their IRAs and 401ks. But they have a 12% or 20% rate on their credit card, and their 401ks or IRAs are only going to create 6%. It's not a very good trade when you look at the bigger picture, and people don't look at it that way, and that's a sad situation. But hopefully, in the emerging markets, they'll educate them and say, "Hey, this is a tool that you can use when you need to buy something, but you have to be prepared to pay it off, and you have to understand that the interest rate that you're paying here is pretty high."
Yes, and how does the credit card debt differ between developed nations and developing nations?
Well, I think in developing nations, it's much harder to probably get credit, okay, because they don't have the same history, the same work history, and other things that go along with a new economy or a new country. But in developed nations, we've already established the fact, and they've already had this wonderful working model for the credit card companies that continue to entice those to spend more, and of course spend more than they have to lock them up in debt. And that's one of the big stories in a company was you wanted your employees to get in debt so they'd have to work hard.
And now, with the rise of digital payments and fintech solution, how does the landscape of credit card debt change?
Well, it's only going to get worse, because again, the easier you make it to spend those dollars, if I don't have to reach in my pocket, even I can just flip it on my phone, or I can just do something else that makes it very easy. The easier you make it for people to spend money, the more money they're going to spend. And I think that's a bigger problem that is going to be developed here and continuing to get worse, which is one of the reasons that we see so much debt among the Gen Zers, is because of course the debt is so easy to accumulate without hardly even making a move, right? You have to go, and a lot of stores have gone to Apple Pay only. You know, a lot of places I've gone to, I don't have Apple Pay myself, so I can't buy from them because they're Apple Pay only, but they're advertising to that market. They want them to come in, they want them to spend their money, and they want them to accumulate that interest rate because that's just another profit center for the lender.
And now, after someone accumulates so much debt, are there ways to get out of it, or how can people get out of debt?
Well, the only way you can get out of debt is by paying it off. I mean, this is where the lobbyists really did a number on the consumer, because they got Congress to pass laws that credit card debt is not dischargeable by bankruptcy. So they're either going to have to pay, or they're going to be in legal trouble and fighting legal bills. And that is something that is, you know, that didn't used to be, but, you know, a number of years ago, the lobbyists convinced Congress to vote to make credit card debt not dischargeable by bankruptcy. So that becomes a much bigger problem, because of course that puts you in debt or in debtor's prison forever.
Absolutely. That's the unfortunate reality. Thank you so much, Bubba Horwitz, for all your time today. While credit cards offer convenience, it's essential to recognize the potential costs associated with credit card debt. There are winners and losers when it comes to finance, and credit card companies want to keep you in debt for as long as possible so they can continue to make money off of interest payments. So even though it is convenient, credit card debt can turn you into a big loser if you don't pay and play by their rules. I'm Christy Yai. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.